Wendy Ann Palermo versus Stephen Eppel, I guess, or Epley. I'm not sure how
Eppel,
to pronounce that.
Yeah.
Eppel. Mr. Powers and Ms. White. Mr. Powers.
Good morning, Judge. Good afternoon, Judge.
Good afternoon. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I may.
That'll be fine. You can proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the Court. My name is Charles Powers. I represent Wendy Palermo. I apologize to my client. I'm going to refer to her as mother. I'm going to refer to Mr. Eppel as father. And then there's a third party who's involved in this case, Ashley Koslicki.
Well, that raises the thing that that struck me as soon as I read the briefs in this case. I thought, this is kind of strange. We have three individuals, I should say, with interests in various aspects of the divorce and the child custody visitation issues. But only two of them are parties to any portion of them. So that struck me as, do we even have a situation where we have at least avoidable agreement here? And if so, I mean, obviously the circuit court's never ruled on it, so we certainly have no business ruling on it. But if that's the case, shouldn't this matter go back to the circuit court for a decision about whether, since we have, for example, with the separation agreement between the stepmother and the father, the natural mother was not a party to that agreement.
Correct.
Yet the agreement involves visitation of one of her children. So where does this leave us in terms of how we should handle this appeal?
How we handle this appeal, Judge, is that this is it is an error of the trial court to do something that it couldn't do. It didn't have jurisdiction to do that, and it is a void order.
Well, if it didn't, then we don't.
It's a void order, but
are we going to rule on the efficacy of a void order?
I don't know why you can't rule on the efficacy of a void order, because the way
other than to say it, but it wasn't presented to the trial court, so we would be doing it for the first time on appeal.
I don't think there's anything that prohibits this court from looking at from a court that has exercised jurisdiction. This court does it often. In many cases, looks at what the trial court has done.
I hope we don't do it too often. We're not supposed to render advisory opinions, nor are we and our mission is to correct trial court error.
Correct.
And if the trial court was never given an opportunity to rule on it, then obviously there's no. And no one, by the way, has raised this issue on appeal. I'm throwing it out there because it struck me, and it puts us on thin ice, it seems to me, if we go too far down the merits of this, if it's avoidable issue anyway, and could be voided at some point. Then whatever opinion we render in this case does become an advisory opinion, doesn't it?
Judge, when I said that this court has ruled many times at the trial court, I'm not saying that there's all these cases that are coming up here, that the trial court has taken these actions, that they don't have jurisdiction. There's been a number of cases where this court has looked at what the trial court has done and said that the trial court did not have jurisdiction, so whatever it has entered cannot be an enforceable order. It's either void or voidable.
In the opening brief, citing any number of cases, you say it is well settled that a court may not adjudicate the rights of one who is not a party to the proceeding.
Yes, Judge.
You will agree that whether she should or she shouldn't have, and I'll use the terminology you used in your brief for clarity, Ashley's stepmom, had rights that would be affected by any potential order in the proceeding that you're appealing.
Yes.
Because she had an order for visitation with the child.
Yes.
Okay. Given that you agree that a person's rights can't be adjudicated if they're not a party to the proceeding, how in the world did the trial court have the power to adjudicate anything regarding pro or con for stepmom visitation? Don't you have a Rule 312 joinder problem? Isn't Ashley a necessary party?
I don't think Ashley's a necessary party because it's a custody and a visitation case between parents. Those are the necessary parties.
A necessary party by rule is defined as a person who, in the person's absence, complete relief cannot be accorded among those already parties, or the person claims an interest relating to the subject of the action and is so situated that the disposition of the action in the person's absence may, as a practical matter, impair or impede the person's ability to protect that interest. She has an interest. Given the Fredericksburg order, does she not?
She has an interest in that between her and dad.
Right.
Not between her and mom.
Right. But if mom prevails in the action and becomes, let's say, total custodial parent, no visitation to the dad, let's say that had happened, then necessarily stepmom's rights have been fully adjudicated, even though she's not a parent anymore, and that she wasn't a party, correct? Doesn't that make her necessary?
In the custody case and the visitation between mom and dad versus a custody or visitation case between dad and a third party, which mom had absolutely nothing to do with.
I'm not saying that she probably shouldn't have been a party to that action.
She probably should have been a party to that, which may have resolved a lot of these things.
Going back to what Judge Humphrey's concerned, and I didn't mean to interrupt your answering Judge Russell's concern, but taking it a layer even deeper than Judge Russell's question is, not only is Ashley mom, could she be a necessary party to this proceeding, but before we even get to that, was mom a necessary party to the proceeding before, during which dad and Ashley mom enter into an agreement that would then give rights of visitation to Ashley mom without having mom participate in that proceeding to determine whether or not that visitation is in fact the best interest of the child and or would abridge any of mother's rights?
That is conceivable, but that's something that's totally outside of what we're talking about here.
But does the court need to rule on that before we can rule on the merit
to rule on whether or not the visitation order to Ashley mom needs to be honored by mom?
Correct.
Or whether or not that's even a
valid order, because mom was not a participant in that hearing.
Well, whether or not it's a valid order, I don't think necessarily affects what happens in this case, because if it's
a valid order, and she has an order that says on Wednesdays I get to spend X amount of time with the child, and in this proceeding to which she is not a party, we essentially rule in such a way, the trial court rules in such a way that we're to eliminate that, which is my understanding is what you want the trial court to have done, then isn't she by definition a necessary party here?
I think the Fredericksburg order gave Ashley mom visitation on a day agreed upon. I don't know if it was specifically Wednesday. I think it may have fallen into that pattern. I may be wrong on the exact specifics of the evidence, but that's my recollection. Dad still has time with the child, and if dad and Ashley mom want to work out that dad can meet his obligation under that order, that's sort of beyond what mom has to say or what this court, the trial court would have to say.
What I see happening here is, obviously you know your clients better than we do, and all we have is the record that's before us.
Yes.
And I think our concern stems from the fact, as I alluded to, that we have basically three people and there are two separate agreements that neither of which involve all three people.
Correct.
And in fact, the subset of the three people is different as to each agreement. And so we have, as Judge Attlee alluded to, we've got this situation where I'm frankly wondering, and I'd like you and your opponent to comment on it, whether the appropriate thing to do here would be to remand this matter back to the circuit court for a determination regarding the voidability of the agreements, or at least the most recent agreement, if not the earlier one as well, before we can determine the merits of the appeal. For one thing, that itself may become an issue on a subsequent appeal, and as I say, we don't render advisory opinions, which is what any decision we make here today would turn into. So there's that, and then you know, we could, you know, assuming that as you indicate, there isn't any problem with the fact that either because of waiver situation or whatever, that everybody's comfortable with the way this was handled vis-a-vis who's joined in which agreement, then we could address the merits of it without risking doing some things that we're not supposed to do as an appellate court.
I'm not sure if you're indicating that the trial court needs to determine whether the order with Ashley mom is something that either needed to be honored or was a valid order. And I don't think the trial court could make any determination as to the validity of the Fredericksburg order.
Let me ask this question. Is there, from the record it doesn't appear to be, but maybe you know something about, is there anything that would render Ashley non-joinable under Rule 312? Everybody is subject to service process. Everybody could be brought before the court in one proceeding, correct?
I don't think... I think Ashley mom could have volunteered. If she was interested or was concerned, she could have come to the court as a party with legitimate interest. I don't challenge her. She is a party with legitimate interest.
But if you're seeking an order that divests her of some right she has, whether rightly or wrongly by the Fredericksburg order, isn't it your obligation to make sure all of the necessary parties are before the court?
Anything that Mom or the Stafford Circuit Court would do is separate from what the Fredericksburg Circuit Court did. And what the Fredericksburg order could still be accommodated under Dad's time with Ashley. That was an agreement between the two
of
them.
How does the midweek?
I'm sorry?
How does the midweek visitation, how is that accommodated?
Again, I'm not sure if it said in the Fredericksburg order, if it was said.
Let's assume it did.
If it did say that, then the request could have been made, and I think Ms. White will say that, then we'll give me Wednesday night or do something like that. But the issue was never raised. It was never brought up by Ashley Mom that she was asking to be awarded visitation. If she had an agreement with her with father from their divorce, that's something separate, entirely separate from the custody and visitation arrangement between the parents. That was something that they agreed on without Mom being present, without Mom being a party.
But it's not just like a private side agreement. Wasn't it rendered into an order?
It was rendered into an order between Mom and between Dad and Ashley Mom.
And that gets us back to, yes, we think it's probably a problem that you only have two of the three parties who are affected by the order in front of the court. But that's the same problem we have here.
I mean, normally it wouldn't matter because if it's not raised below, we don't notice it on appeal. But when you're dealing with a voidable agreement because not all the necessary parties were joined, that can be attacked any time, you know. And so that's frankly our concern here because that's not waivable or it's, at least it's not permanently waivable. I'll put it that way.
That's not the issue in this appeal. That would be the issue in the Fredericksburg case. If Mom had knew or was involved in that at all at the time that was occurring, that would have been the challenge in that case, not in the Stafford case. In the case between Mom and Dad, those are the only parties.
If you had gotten an order that eliminated Ashley's midweek visitation and she's not a party, wouldn't she be able to attack it as voidable because the proceeding adjudicated her rights when she was not a party to the action?
I don't think it would have adjudicated her rights because she didn't have any interest in this case.
But she would have had an interest in the child. And
exactly.
Isn't that the point? Because it seems to me that when you're adjudicating the custody and visitation of a child, you're not doing different things in different jurisdictions. There is a jurisdiction which is the home jurisdiction of the child. And if you've got a Fredericksburg order that purports to give Ashley Mom some visitation, but then in a completely different court and a completely different proceeding, you have the custody of the child that is adjudicated because they still retain joint legal custody, but then primary physical custody is transferred to Mom rather than father and purports to set about the visitation of the child. If you take the hypothetical that then this court had just provided for nothing but visitation between Mom and Dad, isn't there a very good argument to make, especially if you're Dad, that I don't have to give Ashley and Mom any visitation because this court has just established visitation to my previous ex-wife, that is the biological mother of the child, and myself, and there's no proviso for the ex-stepmother.
Not to sidestep the issue, but that's an issue. That's a problem between Dad and Ashley Mom.
But that's a problem with the child. Isn't that the key, is that we want to reconcile all the matters involving the child so that there's consistency with the child and we have one order that purports to take care of visitation and custody with the child?
Yeah, let me follow up and then put it in at least what I think is the right context here, which is what's on appeal to us right now is the assignment of heir, the effect that the visitation arrangements were not in the best interest of the child. It's a very vague objection, but that's what's before us.
Yes.
Now, we can certainly rule on that, but the problem is that and you're quite correct that probably the stepmother would qualify as an interested party under the statute because the evidence is undisputed that she's formed a bond with the child. Well, that's all well and good. But the point is that the agreement that the father made with the stepmother did not involve the natural mother. So even though the father and the stepmother were okay with the arrangements they made, We don't know whether mother would have been okay with those arrangements and could have, you know, not that she would have been successful, but could have intervened and attacked and asserted something contrary as not being in the best interest of her child. As Judge Atlee alluded to, she's entitled to stand in the shoes and advocate for her child's, what she thinks is her child's best interests. And so to say that none of this is involved in this case is really not, I mean, the point is it's all involved because of the various ways that these people can become involved at some future date if they want to be.
Judge, I've well exceeded my time.
Go ahead and answer my question.
I'll try to be brief on this. This actually raises the critical issue about mom with her fundamental rights to parenting and what notice she was given and what due process right she has to be advised before the case starts that Ashley mom will be requesting visitation. In argument, dad never asked, well, I want to make sure, Judge, that you do Ashley visitation for Ashley. It was never requested. It was never noticed. It was never part of the case. If the issue of Ashley mom visitation was going to be adjudicated, it had to have been noticed. So that sort of takes us back to the overall overriding point, is that the case that was presented between in Stafford County was between these two parents, and no notice was given to anyone that this issue about Ashley mom or whether the Fredericksburg order is valid or how do we deal with that will be heard by this court. Thank you, Judge.
Counsel? May it please the court. My name is Mary Elizabeth White. I represent Mr. Apple in this matter. As the court was discussing with my esteemed opponent here, the situation between father and Ashley mom, or mom A as she was referred to in this court, I would point the court to the appendix, pages 23 and 24, during the direct examination of the mother, Wendy Palermo, and a large part of her case. Now, you don't have a large part of the record here, but it's interesting that even the excerpts that were provided by opposing counsel make a big issue of the point that mom A had visitation, dad had denied this visitation to mom A, and on direct examination he says, I didn't think it was any longer in Thomas's best interests, but that was an underlying linchpin of mom's case. Dad's making poor choices. He denied mom A visitation, and she's asked about it. She says she found out early on that mom A was going to get visitation. Okay, they were married 7 years. So so she developed this relationship, the divorce came along, and mom A got this visitation, and mom knew it. In fact, she talks about how she corresponded primarily with mom A.
Do you agree that mom A is a necessary party?
I believe mom A is a necessary party, but let me tell you.
Well, then doesn't that render all of the order void?
Well, your honors, there was an easy fix for this. All mom had to do was say, your honor, you can't do that. Mom A is not a part of this. And then the judge could have made an accommodation, which brings me to my point, is they didn't preserve this objection. They had every opportunity to preserve this objection. They didn't do it.
They didn't. Do they have to?
They didn't bring it up. They didn't bring it up when the judge said, and I point out to the court, the judge didn't say, I'm awarding Mom A visitation. He said, Mom, you're going to accommodate Mom A's midweek visitation.
Was Mom a necessary party to the Fredericksburg proceeding?
Mom A?
No.
Or are we talking Mom Ashley? You're talking about Mom being a necessary party.
Biological mother in Fredericksburg.
Brings up an interesting question. I believe at this point, yes, I do. I think she was a necessary party, but she didn't object then either.
But she wasn't a party. She couldn't object.
She wasn't a party.
For the same reason that I can't hold it against Mom A for not objecting in this proceeding, because she wasn't a party even though she's in the courtroom.
I agree with you, Your Honor. But Mom, not only did Mom not object, she used that denial of visitation to Mom A as a club to beat the father for making poor choices during this entire trial. All of this expense, all of this theoretical wonderings that we're doing here, all this legal focus, which is all very interesting, could have been avoided. Excuse me, Your Honor, you can't award Mom A visitation.
Well, these are not really just legal musings on our part.
I understand.
Mean, the question is this an appeal we can or should resolve given the state of it, given the obvious, some what appear to us to be some rather obvious defects in the agreements at stake here that have not been ruled on by the trial court, but which at least appear to be voidable at the will of the unnamed parties in the two agreements.
I agree that there are problems with the underlying Fredericksburg order.
If we find that Mom A is a necessary party here regarding the Stafford order, and therefore the court did not have all of the necessary joinable parties in front of it, is the proper resolution for us to remand for the trial court with instructions to join all necessary parties and start over?
I believe that would be the best thing to do. And I'll tell the court why. I believe that Mom was a necessary party to the Fredericksburg because her rights as a mother, a biological mother of this child, were basically worked with and arranged at that time between father and stepmother. However, I don't necessarily agree that stepmother was a necessary party to this action between mother and father, because it could have been very simple. Had mother objected timely, judge could have said, "You're right, I'm giving dad one night of visitation a week to accommodate his agreement with Mom A, and we wouldn't have been here." But no one raised that objection. No one gave the court the opportunity to fix it. And not just at the time that the judge said it, 5 weeks it took this order to get signed. Not a single motion to reconsider, not a single objection. Nothing was done. That's disconcerting.
Not about you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What this comes down to, and being an English major, I'm going to go ahead and say it, this is a case of being hoisted by your own petard. Mom went in there saying, "Dad didn't give Ashley Mom her visitation." And when then the judge said, "Okay, you accommodate her, I'm giving you custody," she got what she asked for. And you should be careful what you ask for, because this is what she got. Now she's objecting. My point in my brief was she didn't preserve her objection for the record. This is an argument that we're all having that wasn't preserved, because the basic tenet of appellate law is give the trial court the opportunity to correct the error. Had mother's counsel said, "Judge, you can't do that. She's not a party. She's here in the courtroom. She's heard all the testimony. She's been here and testified. You can't do that," judge could have said, "You know what, you're right. Dad, you get one midweek, give it to Mom A. Problem solved." But no one gave the judge that opportunity. No one even raised it. And I do not believe that a general visitation is not in the child's best interest is sufficient to cover the objection. Objections have to be stated with specificity. And I cited that in my rule, you know, Rule 5:25. And I point
out, that's a rule that doesn't apply to us.
I understand that's not a rule. Well, are you ruling on something that wasn't preserved for appeal? No one has asked this court.
I think the point is that you keep citing to Rule 5:25, and that's a rule that applies in proceedings in the Supreme Court of Virginia.
Oops. You're right.
5A18.
I'm just going to go ahead and put that away, so maybe that note was about me. All right. Let's go ahead and move on with that. I'll go back to my other argument. No one gave the trial court the chance to fix this, and it should have been done. It could have been fixed very easily. It wasn't fixed. All they would have had to do is tell Judge Ellis, "Judge, you can't do that," and then he could have made arrangements. Mom made a huge part of her case, and I pointed it out in my brief, that Ashley Mom was being deprived of this visitation with the child, that Dad was making poor choices, and then when Mom had to accommodate, and he doesn't say, "I award," he said, "You accommodate this midweek that Dad was doing," and he didn't award Dad any midweek. Very easily could have said, "I give Dad midweek, you accommodate Mom A." The underlying question that you asked me about, what does this do to the Fredericksburg Circuit Court order? I wasn't involved in that, and I've had problems with that to begin with, and I'm sure Dad does. I don't know what the resolution is for that, but that's not before this court at the time. At this point, I don't believe that this objection was properly preserved for this court. I think the appellant had every opportunity to properly preserve it. In fact, I pointed out in my brief, we weren't even sure what was being appealed until the brief came out, because a vague visitation is not in the child's best interests. They asked for every week on, week off visitation in the summer. They were upset that Dad got the entire summer. And then they say it's not in the child's best interest. So how can they now come before this court and say visitation with Mom A is not in this child's best interest when all throughout their case the counselor said, oh, he harmed the child by not giving Mom A visitation. Mom A says he harmed the child by not giving visitation. And even the mother herself acknowledges that this has been going on for years, never raised an objection. So you can't hide the ball from the trial court. You give the trial court the opportunity, and then you don't, and then you come and avail yourself of the Court of Appeals. I'm going to refer to one of my favorite cases by the Court of Appeals, and that was the Fadness case, where the Court of Appeals said, the Court of Appeals is not a dark room where you go in wandering around looking for a light. This should have been fixed at the trial court level. To come up here and give every myriad of excuses as to why this shouldn't happen, Mom already said she had no problem with Mom A having visitation. Now she's got a problem? Then maybe she shouldn't have brought Mom A into court. She didn't properly object in the lower court. It's something that she's accepted. Perhaps she's stopped from raising an objection now. I believe that this matter perhaps should be remanded to the circuit court for adjudication. Perhaps the two cases can be joined from the Fredericksburg case. But the issue here is my client, who neither asked for this or wanted this, is the person that has been bearing the costs. And we would ask for remand on the issue of attorney's fees and costs for my client, unless you have any more questions about my reading of the appropriate rules. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. White. Mr. Powers, we kind of chewed up your rebuttal time by asking you questions, so I'm going to give you 2 minutes to respond.
I appreciate that.
And before you get started, the note I wrote was, will you bring him back up for rebuttal so I can ask him the same question I asked her, which is, if we determine that Mom A, Ashley, whatever we're calling her, was a necessary party under Rule 312, isn't the appropriate resolution for us to remand to the circuit court with instructions to join her, if feasible, and start over?
I guess that would be true, but I don't think Mom Ashley was a necessary party in this case, because the only predicate to Mom Ashley being a necessary party in the Stafford case would be Mom being a necessary party in the Fredericksburg case between Dad and Ashley Mom.
And wasn't she?
She was not.
Why wasn't she a necessary party?
That was an agreement between divorcing spouses.
It adjudicated the rights of the child without factoring in the biological mother who has joint
custody. That is correct, but it's still something that they had worked out between the two of them.
But that's the point, isn't it? That they can't work that out between the two of them without the mother, who's a joint legal custodian and thus gets to share in all the decisions that affect the well-being of that child, without her playing a role in that.
If she was a necessary party in that order, and this is very circular, obviously, necessary party in Fredericksburg, it would then be a void order, which then the Stafford case wouldn't even have to pay attention to, so then Ashley Mom would never even make it into the Stafford case as a necessary party.
Well, I'm not sure they're not both void orders as far as that goes, for basically the same reason, but involving different people.
To get back to Judge Russell's point, isn't the best solution then to remand it to the circuit court so that all parties can be before the court and an order that deals with custody visitation and thus the best interest of the child is entered?
I don't think a remand is appropriate, because this case has only been between these two parties up to this point. The only way we would say that Mom would be a necessary party is if we then step back, look outside, and talking about a void order. Because if Ashley Mom is necessary in this case, Mom's necessary in that case, and then that would be a void order.
But would that be something you would raise if regarding her joinder? I mean, you would collaterally attack the Fredericksburg order and say it was void, but as of when these parties got to this court case, there was a presumptively valid order from Fredericksburg, and there's a presumptively valid order here that has three people, that tries to adjudicate the rights of three people to be with the child, but only two of them are present in any case.
Yes, Judge. But I'm sorry if I just keep repeating myself, but
I'm probably doing that too.
No, Judge. I think we're talking about opening up something that's already a ship that's already sailed, but if there was going to be a necessary party, nobody made a motion or asked that someone be brought in, that Ashley Mom be made a necessary party. I think it's incumbent on the parties to determine to say, well, I think Ashley Mom is a necessary party. Going back to my original point, never any discussion about Ashley Mom getting some rights adjudicated by the Stafford Circuit Court. I'd like to just reiterate my arguments made in my brief with respect to the 5A18 objection that was raised, and then also the discussion about what you get what you ask for. I've already laid that out in the brief, so I'll rely upon those. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. We'll come down to Greek Council.